It's the issue of pride. Pride is it's very easy to fall into. It's very easy. You can see other people that have pride, and it's obvious. But then you don't see it in yourself. You know, other people see it in you, but you don't see it in yourself. It's a contributor to other sins. You know, like bitterness comes, anger, fear, excuse me, selfishness. Like I said, it's easy to fall into, and it's of the devil. I felt like God wanted me to talk about this issue, the results of pride, and how to overcome and avoid pride. But before we get started, let's pray. And there's a lot of things I want to talk about. There's a lot of Bible verses and such. We won't be able to get to it all due to time, but I'll give you like the passages and such that hopefully will be beneficial for us if you haven't did like a study on pride. I did it, and there's a lot of, the Bible talks a lot about pride. So we'll get into it, but first let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, and thank you again for the opportunity to be here tonight, Lord. And it was a good study that I had, Lord, and I felt like you called me to talk about this issue, Lord. It's been on my heart for a long time now, and gained the opportunity to share it with my church family, Lord. And I pray for those that are listening, whether it's on Sermon Audio, Facebook, or YouTube, or whatever outlet that they're listening to, I pray that this will be an encouragement, and also they can use the Bible as a tool to fight against pride and to help us to become humble and to be meek and lowly people. Yes, we have the truth, but we should show mercy and grace to those around us. We're not perfect like they are. We're all sinners, and we have no right to treat others disrespectfully or nasty or such things, Lord, because you died on the cross for our sins. And I pray again that this will be a blessing. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So first off, I want to talk about the sin of pride. Where did it get started? Where did it come from? And I would like for you to go to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. And we're going to read verses 13 through 14. And this passage here, starting at and verse 12 is talking about Lucifer. Obviously, Lucifer is Satan. And Lucifer, he was created by God as an amazing creature. He was one of the angels, and he was very gifted. He was very talented. He was musically talented, and he was beautiful to look upon. But there is something that happened in verse 13 that for some reason Lucifer started gaining this emotion, and sin came into his being. And as you can see in verse 13, we'll start out, and this is God talking, but Lucifer says, "For thou hast said in thine heart," this is Lucifer, "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt thy throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Now, if you look at that, when I look at that, I'm like, well, this guy's pretty proud, very boastful. He actually wants to be like the Most High. Well, we know in other passages that God was not going to put up with that, and he got kicked out of heaven. And a third of the angels fell with Satan. Well, of course, Satan didn't appreciate that, so he went to one of God's great creations, and that was mankind. And in Genesis chapter 3, Satan confronts Eve. And obviously, Satan questioned God's authority when he asked Eve, "Yea, hath God said?" Well, of course, Eve said, "Well, you know, we can't We can eat of the trees, the fruit of the trees in the garden, except for one, and that's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And she, of course, added on, we are not even supposed to touch it, because if we do, we'll die. But then Satan says in verse, at the end of verse 3, it says, that was Eve saying, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Going on in verse 5, for God doth not know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. And here's the part that I want to really emphasize here. And ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So, again, Satan has this mentality, this thought, and he wanted to share it with mankind, the human race, saying, if you eat of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, you'll be like God himself. That's the reason why God doesn't want you to eat the fruit, because he doesn't want you to know about good and evil. Well, of course, we fell for it. I believe, in a way, pride came in, and that temptation came in, of course, Adam and Eve took the fruit and ate it. And from that point on, we can give you other examples. Pride continues throughout the ages. The fall of man, Adam and Eve, we can go right to the next generation, Cain and Abel. When Cain and Abel were old enough to be responsible, Abel had sheep, and then Cain had a garden. He was a farmer. He had a garden. Abel brought a sheep, a lamb for a sacrifice. What did Cain do? He brought his fruits, his vegetables. And of course, God accepted Abel's, but not Cain's, because Cain did not follow the right procedure that God had for them. And of course, instead of getting right and changing it, he got angry and bitter about it because he thought he was doing the right thing. I'm bringing to God what I have done, what my works. I'm bringing it to God, and he doesn't accept it. And of course, it got to the point where Cain was so angry, he killed his brother. We can go on to the Tower of Babel. After the flood, Noah's family stayed in one area, and the people there had one language, and they were building this great city. And they're like, I have an idea. In Genesis chapter 11, verse 4, it said, and they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Again, pride settled in. They're like, we survived the flood, and we have all of this territory, this land, and the fruit is plenteous. And we all know, understand each other. We have one language. Let's just stay together, because God wants us to spread out. We don't want to spread out. We want to build a tower to heaven and make a name for ourselves. And of course, God didn't approve of that. So he changed the languages. People got confused, and they scattered across the world. So, like in Genesis, and of course, there are some incidences throughout until the time of Judges, even. Go to Judges chapter 17. Judges chapter 17. And verse 6. Judges was a very hard and difficult, challenging time. The Israelites were like in this cycle of doing what was right, following God, and doing what they were supposed to do, but then God was blessing them so much that they forgot about what God was doing, and they got proud. They fell into worshiping other gods and idols and mingling with the people of Canaan. And so God would punish them and fall into slavery and into bondage. And so the people would try, they would get right, they would ask God, to help them to escape this bondage. And then, of course, God would raise up a judge to help the Israelites defeat their enemies and to be free again. But in Judges chapter 17, verse 6, it says, "In those days there were no king in Israel." Here's the phrase that got my attention. "But every man did that which was right in his own eyes." There was no king, and I believe there was a lot of wickedness during this time. Even the judges themselves were doing what was right in their own eyes, even though God brought them in to help the Israelites. I'll give you a couple examples. Gideon, in Judges chapter 8, verses 23 through 27, Gideon, at first, he was hiding as he was getting grain and saving grain and hiding the grain from the Midianites to feed his family. He was hiding. He was scared. He was afraid. But then once God used him to defeat the Midianites, and there was great victory for the Israelites, I think pride got into the life of Gideon, because the people, the Ishmaelites, came to Gideon and they asked him to be his leader, to be their leader. Verse 23 says, "And Gideon said unto them, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you." So at first he says, I'm not going to rule. My son's not going to rule. The Lord is going to rule for you. But if you look at verse 24, it seems like something comes to mind. He's thinking a little bit. And then he says unto them, "I would desire a request of you, that ye would give me every man the earrings of his prey," for they had golden earrings because they were Ishmaelites. Verse 25, and they answered, "We will willingly give them." And they spread a garment and did cast therewith every man the earrings of his prey. Then verse 26 talks about how much gold, the weight of it and all that. Verse 27, "And Gideon made an ephod thereof and put it in his city, even in Ophrah. And all Israel went thither, a whoring after it, which thing became a snare unto Gideon and to his house." So he created this ephod, and he takes it back to his city and his place, his house. And all the people of Israel, if they had an issue or a problem, they would go to Gideon to get advice. And I feel like, in a way, Gideon was like, well, I mean, they want me to be the leader, but I know I shouldn't. So in a way, I'm going to be very subtle about this, and I'm going to make an ephod. And in a way, I'm not quote-unquote being the leader, but I am being the leader. In a way, I feel like Gideon was hiding his pride in a way. And again, pride can... people actually started worshiping the ephod, and a little bit later, you'll read that the ephod was destroyed because it was being worshipped. Then there's Samson, Judges 16:20. Of course, we know a lot about Samson. Samson was in the Hall of Faith, right? He was blessed with superhuman strength. Yet he looked like an average guy, an average man. And yet he was able to carry gates that weighed thousands of pounds. He was able to defeat thousands of Philistines. And yet the Philistines did not know how to capture Samson until Samson met Delilah. And of course, Delilah was asked of the Philistines to find Samson's weakness, and so that they'll be able to capture him, and she would be rewarded for that. And so time after time after time, Delilah was trying to get Samson to tell her his weakness. He finally told her the truth. It was about his hair. If she cut his hair, he would be weak as any other man. So she brings a barber, and they cut his hair while he was asleep. the Philistines come. And of course, she wakes up Samson, saying that the Philistines was upon him. And verse 20, and she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." I don't know exactly what that means, but I kind of think he was saying, "I'm going to show them like I showed them before. I'm going to beat them up. I'm going to scare them off and run them off like I've done many times before." But sad and a scary thought, this last part of the verse, "And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him." Don't you see what I'm trying to show you is that pride is a very dangerous thing. Yeah, it's very easy to fall into. If we're not careful and we don't pay attention, when people pat us on the back for doing great things, the Lord is blessing us because we're in his will, we're doing his work. Sometimes we feel like we're something. We get boastful about it. And yet, then we become blinded about why things are going as well as they are, why we're being blessed, why we're able to accomplish many things, because God is working through us, like the Lord was working through Samson. But I believe his pride blinded him, and it cut off that relationship with the Lord. We'll continue on. During the kings like David and Hezekiah and such, excuse me, I only gave one example here, but there's obviously quite a few other examples about kings who were doing great things for the Lord, and they were doing right. They were destroying the high places, they were destroying the idols, they were chasing off the witches and such. But there was times in their lives where their pride became too great, and it destroyed their relationship, and it destroyed their testimony at the end of their lives. And this is King Asa in 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Chronicles 16 and verse 7. "And at that time Hananiah the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria." So before I continue on, before this, there was a time of war, and there was an enemy that was coming to take and destroy the Israelites. And of course, King Asa, before, had prayed and asked God to protect them and help them, which God did, and they were victorious. But this time, King Asa, being blessed and having great wealth and treasures and such, relied on his power and on his wealth that he had. He even took the treasures out of the house of God and gave it to another country, Syria, and basically had asked the Syrians to protect Israel instead of asking God to protect them. And so this Hananiah, the preacher, comes to King Asa and said, "Because thou hast relied on King Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thy hand." Basically, the pastor was saying, because you weren't relying on the Lord and you relied on one of your enemies, he has escaped from your hands. Look at verses 9 through 10. He continues on in verse 9, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show thyself strong the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars." Because of this foolish mistake that you made, you're not going to have peace. There's going to be constant conflicts and wars, and there will be no rest for you. Look at verse 10, the attitude that King Asa had. Instead of being knowing that he did wrong and getting right with the Lord, verse 10 says, "Then Asa was wroth with the seer, and he put him in a prison house, for he was in rage with them because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. Pride also brings anger and bitterness. When somebody confronts you and they say, hey, what you're doing is wrong, you should do it this way, you should get right with the Lord. Instead of doing that, people get angry and bitter and get easily offended because somebody comes and talks to you and say that you're wrong, you made a mistake about something. Look at verse 12. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. It's like Asa completely forgot about the Lord. Completely forgot about him. He only looked to the people, the present, the here, and the now. He looked to find medicines, the doctors to help his disease, and he died with this disease in his feet. I don't know, maybe if Asa got right with the Lord, maybe there would have been an opportunity for God to heal him from his disease. But we won't know because, as the Bible says right here, because of his, it seems like his pride was just so great that he completely didn't even think about asking God for help. Then in the New Testament, you can think about the Pharisees. The Pharisees were great religious people, and they did a lot of traditions. They have hundreds and hundreds of rules that they have to follow, and they know a lot about the Old Testament and such. And they were very proud about their lineage, about their past families and such, taking it all the way back to Abraham, which I'm sure some of them could do so. But even Christ said in the scriptures that, talking about these lineages and the going back to generations and stuff, there's no point to it. The only reason it stopped, you know, in fact, all these, you know, lineages and such stops in Matthew because it shows you about certain people in the past that are associated with Christ. When Jesus confronted the Pharisees, there's many times where the Pharisees said, "Well, we're the Abraham's seed. You know, what are you? You're just a man that came from a poor carpenter, you know, came from Galilee. There's nobody important that comes from Galilee." And they always look, it always seems like there was times where they even had conflicts with their own people, you know, when Jesus would heal people, you know, the blind, the lame, and be on the Sabbath day. The Pharisees would be like, "What are you doing? You're not supposed to be doing this." And, you know, huge miracle. You know, these people just got healed. You know, the doctors and physicians, they couldn't do anything. But Jesus Christ, being the great physician, he healed them. Not only physically, but they became a believer in faith. And yet the Pharisees were so wrapped up with their religion and stuff. They're like, "You're breaking the law. What are you doing? You can't be doing this." And of course, because of, I feel like Jesus kept doing miracles on the Sabbath day because I think he was trying to get across, like, your traditions and stuff are not that important. The only thing that it's making you do is get pride and boastful. And that's basically what the Pharisees are. They are very proud and boisterous. They were always in the public, giving these big speeches and prayers and such. But sad to say, there's a lot of Christians that do the same thing. We as believers, and even I'm talking about the Baptist circles too, I have seen, since I've been going to college and stuff, I've been interacting and watching pastors and guest speakers and such, and even just Christian students, and we're blessed, we are. We have the true word of God right here. I believe God has blessed us and he preserved his word for a reason. I believe that we, as Baptists, we have really good biblical doctrines and standards and truths and stuff. But I believe that we get into it so much that I feel like sometimes lose focus of what we're actually supposed to do. Yes, we should know what God's word says and what we should do in our daily walk with the Lord and to try to grow continuously. But we get to the point where we think we know everything, you know. We've been a Christian for many, many years, and we look down at people that don't even have a mom and a dad. They never gone to church before. And we look down at them and are like, how pathetic can you be? You should know this. How come you don't understand it? Why are you making these mistakes? Why are you doing these sins? And yet, I'm sure there's many people that I've met on bus routes and stuff that have never even heard about the Bible or about Jesus. And yet, us Baptists, we look down at people and like, look at these people making these foolish mistakes and stuff like that. Well, you know, they probably wouldn't be making those mistakes if we actually reached out and told them that it was wrong. But instead, we just sit back, gossip amongst each other and such. Shame on us for doing so. In society, there's people that talk about, you know, God doesn't exist. We just basically came out of prehistoric Campbell's tomato soup, you know. And, you know, after millions and millions of years, the rain, you know, poured upon the earth. And little orgasms came out of this pile of soup. And this orgasm, this organic being grew legs and a tail. And then it crawled onto the land. And then the tail came off and it started losing hair. And here we are now with technology and stuff. I have to say, you know, why? There is an intelligent being. I mean, you can just study about the eyes. You know, the eyes are just amazing. And like our cells and stuff, they're so in detailed and stuff that you get into the study and it's really in depth. And even when I was trying to study cells and stuff like that, it's just mind-blowing, you know. Even like plant cells, the plant cells are so delicate and stuff like that that it's more delicate than a space shuttle. And a space shuttle is like really, really high-tech. And like the stars and the galaxy and the universe is just massive. It's huge. And these people that say there is no God, the Bible says that God gives, there's times where, you know, people won't be able to hear the gospel. But he gives them opportunities through his creation and through other opportunities to show his magnificence and his power and glory. And yet we have people who are saying, there's no God. I'm God. I can tell myself what to do and when to do it. Whenever. I can do whatever I want. I can tell myself what gender I want to be. I can, you know, I can abuse and destroy my body and to what I put into it and what I. It's scary. Pride is everywhere. I want to talk about the effects of pride. I'm going to try to hurry along. There's a lot to go through. So we talked about the sin of pride. It's everywhere, and it's been going through history for a very, very long time. Let's talk about the effects. I don't have a lot of Bible verses with this, but just from like looking and studying on it, I feel like a lot of these effects, like reactions and stuff like that, are associated with pride. People that have pride can be very loud and boastful. They have a haughty spirit. Like I was mentioning about the Pharisees, they were always in the public and they were always being loud and in a way of being very boastful. Proudful people don't take correction well. And I put scoffer under that. There's a lot of scoffers right now in today's society. And it seems like as time goes on, the more people are like, what are you talking about? You don't know anything. I know what's right and what's wrong. You know, I'm going to make my own decisions. You don't have the right to tell me what to do. Prideful people usually are easy to anger. It doesn't take much. If you start having a talk with them or a conversation with them and you're trying to tell them that what they're doing is wrong, it doesn't take long and they just get angry, like their face gets red and they just have this grimace look on them. They never admit that they're wrong. They always blame somebody else. We're human. We make mistakes, whether it's at work, at home, at school. We all make mistakes. If we were to take a test and one of us got an F on it, well, obviously, that's your fault, not ours. You're supposed to study and stuff like that. It's not like you said, well, my dog ate my homework. It's like, but you took the test on the computer. How can your dog eat it? They never admit that they're wrong. It's always an excuse. They always make excuses. A good person, a good Christian, when they are reproved and they're corrected, and they know that what they did was wrong, they will admit that they made wrong and they will try to get right. They get easily offended. Some of these I feel like are probably similar to others. They get easily offended. They only think of themselves. They're selfish people. They hardly ever think about anybody else. They always are thinking about, what can I do? What can I accomplish? How can I help myself to get a satisfaction, to make myself look even more beneficial? They look down on others. They're a discourager. It always seems like people that have pride are usually alone. I feel like that there's a reason why for that is because people get tired of hearing about that one person talking about themselves. Not only that, I feel like a lot of times people with pride are stubborn. Like I said, they don't like to admit that they're wrong. And a lot of people that have pride, if they're stubborn, it's usually, they sit, you know, the old saying, it's either my way or the highway, you know. They're stubborn, you know. It's hard to persuade them any other way. I have a verse on here on this one. Lift it up. What do you mean exactly on that one, Joseph? Well, go to Obadiah chapter 1. Obadiah chapter 1. If I can find it myself. There we go. Verse 3. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? I feel like that right there, that's when people are like very up on top of the world. You know, they've accomplished many things, and they're like, they're like, is this the best you got? Can you hit me with something a little bit harder? Is there anybody that can bring me down? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, there is somebody that can definitely, you know, make you land flat on your face if you're not careful. And be grateful and thankful for what God has accomplished in your life and how much blessings you have. Another thing is there's no thankfulness or gratefulness. They never think about the things that God has blessed in their lives or given them. I feel like people with pride, they don't pray a lot. They don't pray. They don't thank the Lord for the blessings and for the things that they have. They're not grateful because they felt like they're the ones that accomplished and got the successful things in life. And there's the possibility of bitterness. If somebody does do wrong and you have pride, you're like, how dare that person do that to me? I'm offended. And you hold that offense and that bitterness, and it just grows and it grows. It's like a cancer, and it just spreads. And then before long, it just oozes. And before long, people around you starts seeing that bitterness in you. The effects of bitterness. Pride is pretty nasty. It is very destructive. If we're not careful, all these things can destroy our walk with the Lord, our fellowship with other believers and churches and such, and it can destroy your testimony of those that are watching you as well. And because of those effects, we have the results of pride. The results of pride. For example, a proud country. I found this in Jeremiah chapter 13 and verse 9. You don't have to go there. I haven't marked because we're kind of running out of time. I'm trying to get through this as quickly as possible. A proud country, and I call it the marring of a proud country. Jeremiah 13 verse 9 says, "Thus saith the Lord, after this manner will I mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem." Yes, as you can see here, it's talking about the pride of Judah and the pride of Jerusalem. But I would apply this to our country as well. God has blessed this country extremely. We should be thankful and grateful. And yet, we have these people, and I feel like it's in our churches too. We have been so blessed with the freedoms and the rights that we have that we have pride. Our pride is like, look at what this country has done for us. We have all these freedoms. We don't have to worry about somebody busting down the doors with like machine guns or anything like that. We don't have to worry about getting arrested, going to jail or prison, or being persecuted. We don't have to worry about how we're going to get to work by transportation. We don't have to worry about how we're going to provide food because there's so many opportunities for jobs and such. There's so much blessings that we're blinded by pride. And we forget about thanking God and knowing that God was the one that gave us all these things. And in our churches, I feel like the reason why our country the way it is because we haven't been praying about it as much as we should. We haven't got our hearts right with the Lord. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear their prayers. I will cleanse their... Sorry, I forgot that. I messed up on that verse. We'll look at it in a little bit. The point is, though, we, as believers, we are the light and the salt of the earth. I believe people, our country, our countrymen, and people that we associate with and interact with, they look towards us. And, you know, even though they don't go to church and stuff like that, they know that we're religious people. Why do you think people act the way they do in this country? Well, I believe we're not showing the right attitude that we're supposed to be showing. We're not being biblical about our attitudes in our society and the people that we interact with. So a marring of a proud country. The coming of contention, Proverbs 13:10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well advice is wisdom. Only by pride cometh contention. And then there's destruction and the fall of pride. Proverbs 16:18 says, Proverbs is probably like one of my favorite books to read. I love Proverbs. And there's a lot of things in Proverbs that talks about pride and the results of pride and the effects of pride. I encourage you to do a study on pride and read the book of Proverbs. It's very good. Chapter 16, verse 18 says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Destruction and the fall of pride. If we have pride and we don't get right with God, we are heading towards destruction, and we will fall. And usually, it's devastating. Yes, there's times where God is merciful and gracious, but that's if we want to get right. If we are stuck in pride and we do not want to give up pride, I feel like God punishes and disciplines us a little bit harder to break us back down to where we should be. Don't get into that position. Another thing is shame. There's shame cometh. Look back at chapter 11, verse 2. It says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. I feel like there's times when we get proud and we're doing great things, and yet we think that we're the ones that are doing it again. And God corrects us, and we embarrass ourselves, but not only that, we embarrass Christ's name. And I think these are the results of when we don't get right with the Lord and humble ourselves again. There's a lowliness. Go to Proverbs chapter 9, verse 23. Proverbs 29:23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. A man's pride shall bring him low. Again, if we don't get right with God, our pride will bring us low. It'll bring us shame, and we'll fall, and there will be destruction. I believe this is probably one of the scariest ones right here. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into condemnation of the devil. The devil's condemnation. I don't know about you, but that scares me. We know that the pride is of the devil. Pride is of the devil. He's the father of pride. You know, he's the father of lies, and he's the father of pride as well. The Bible doesn't specifically go into details about the condemnation of the devil in this passage, but I really do not want to know exactly what would happen if we fell into that. Be careful of pride. And lastly, the results of pride, you fall into foolishness. Proverbs 14:3, you don't have to turn there. I'll read it for you. Proverbs 14:3 says, In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. When you have pride, your thinking process becomes all about me and what I can do, and you start acting foolishly, you start speaking foolishly, you start to do foolish things. These are the results of pride. I'm sure there's many more results, but we're running out of time, so I want to try to end on a positive note by giving you a couple of solutions to pride. How can we avoid being a proud person, a proud Christian, and a proud being? Well, first off, you can be humble. And this shouldn't be the main reason why we should be humble, but I believe God blesses those who are humble. He will exalt you. I have a lot of verses. We'll go to a couple of them. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Then there's James chapter 4, verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And here's a few other ones. I'll give them to you so you can look them up later. There's Matthew chapter 18, verse 4. Matthew 18, 4. Then there's Proverbs 16, 19. Matthew 23, 12. And then, of course, 1 Chronicles 7, 14. Let's go to that because I absolutely butchered that verse. Let's go to that one and let's read it. 1 Chronicles 7, 14. Talking about the nation. A nation is 2 Chronicles, my fault. I got there, I was like, wait a second, it's 2 Chronicles. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I also notice the word sin, it's singular. And I don't want to sound like I'm reading between the lines, but, you know, talk about shall humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, I feel like this is talking about pride. If we humble ourselves and admit that we're doing wrong, turn from our wicked ways, look towards God in heaven, and ask him to forgive us of our sin and to heal our land, he will hear us and he will do so. The solution, to be humble. The last thing is to be lowly and meek. And again, we shouldn't do this because we want to get the results. We should do it because we love God and we want to do what is right. But God will bless you if you're lowly and meek. And God will give you wisdom. He'll give you respect. He will save you from judgment. So let's look at a couple of these verses. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2. Proverbs 11, 2, talking about wisdom. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. The last part of this verse, but with lowly is wisdom. God gives us wisdom when we're lowly. And God also respects us if we're lowly and meek. Go to Psalms 138. And verse 6. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. But the pride he knoweth afar off. He respects those that are lowly. He hath respect unto the lowly. And then, safe from judgment, I have Psalm 76, verse 9. And then, I call this one the beatification with salvation. And a lot of these are in Psalms, so we won't have time to look at them. I'll just tell you the references, and you can look them up later. Psalms 149:4. We will be lifted up. God will lift us, lift up the lowly and meek. Psalms 147:6. There's an inheritance for us. Psalms 37:11. There's satisfaction in being lowly and meek. Psalms 22:26. And there's joy in the Lord when we're meek and lowly. Isaiah 29:19. If you're not able to get all these and you want to come up and talk to me, I can give you the references and again. So because I want to share this with you, I'm running out of time. But I wanted to share this with you from my personal study of talking about pride. Basically, all I want to say is be careful of pride. It's very dangerous, and yet it's so easy to fall into. When you are being praised for things that you've done and accomplished, we should automatically give God the honor and glory for it, because he's the one that's doing these things through us. We're his ambassadors. We are his stewards, and we are to be responsible, yes, for the things that we have. But we shouldn't have pride in the things we do. We should be confident in Christ and have Christ while Christ is working through us. Yes, we should be bold and have confidence, but we shouldn't have pride. Pride is the bad attitude to have when you're doing things in the ministry and even just living a good godly life and having a testimony. So I urge you all and those who are listening, please be careful of pride. I mean, look at all the things that I mentioned, all the benefits and the promises that God gave us. If we're meek and lowly and are humbled, there's many, many things and many good things about it. We have the truth, but we should share the truth with grace and mercy and with meekness. We'll pray and we can all be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, and thank you again, Heavenly Father, for this time for me to share this with everybody. Sorry it took a little bit longer than was trying to, Lord, but this was very important to me, and you've pressed on my heart, and I want to thank you for helping me. I hope this was a blessing, and I hope I got the point across, Lord, about the devastations and the bad effects that pride has. It destroys peoples. It destroys our walk and fellowship with you, Lord. And it also destroys the relationships we have with our brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord. I ask that you help us to fight off against pride, Lord. It's so easy to fall into, and it's so hard sometimes to get out of it and to admit that we're wrong. Sometimes we're not perfect, Lord. And we just need to have the right attitude about it and to make things right. Help us to be humble, meek, and lowly people, Lord. We have the truth, and we know what is said in God's word. But help us not to look down on people. Help us to have a compassion that you had when you looked at the crowds that came to you and wanted to hear what you had to say, Lord. Help us to love those, to hate their sins, but to love them and to try to reach out to them, Lord. Lord, this world is heading towards grave danger and destruction, Lord. And we need to try to reach out to those before it's too late, Lord. There's some that have never heard about Jesus Christ. They never heard about the Bible, never been to church. Help us to be able to have the confidence and boldness in you as you work through us to reach those. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.